Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Namaste.
Namaste. Let's go ahead and find our sit bones underneath us. Tell me your name real quick.
Virgil.
Nice to meet you. Thank you. This is our mantra class, our mantra practice. Welcome. So finding our sit bones underneath us and letting our spines be nice and tall and spacious. Just take a couple deep breaths into the fullness of your heart, your belly, your ribs. And just notice that there's a lot of room there for the air to move in and out. As you're connecting with the earth beneath you, and letting that foundation hold you securely so that you can feel very free and open.
Shut up.
truly feel your sit bones underneath you. Japa, right? repetition. This isn't quite japa, it's similar, but it's that repetitive sound of the mantra. Japa is more tends to be more spoken or droned. This is a little more melodic, if you will. And of course, we're doing a call and response. It kind of has that same effect. I mean, what's some of your experience? What's some of the effects that you felt from singing this mantra over and over?
It always uplifts me. Always.
Clarifies my mind. I was no longer distracted by the day's events.
There you go. Beautiful. Yeah.
And I felt a flow of motion.
Absolutely. What else? Anything else?
It's energizing.
Yeah. Absolutely. And this is what mantra does. So man, of course, is what?
Mind.
Yes.
Manas.
Mind. And tra is to protect. So mantra protects the mind. It gives the mind something to do. Because that's the job of the mind. It does things. Yes, it brings the rajasic to the sattvic. Absolutely. Absolutely. So when we sing these mantras, that's what we're doing, is we're giving the mind something to do so it can kind of get out of the way. And we can drop into the flow. We can be more connected to the vibration and the energy that we truly are. Oh, hello. We'll just call that an exclamation point. On the, right off the back of what I said.
Beautiful.
And today, I'm bringing back a mantra that I brought in before, and it's from my path, which is the Sri Vidya tantric path. And Sri is the energy of the Ma, expansion. Tantra actually means expansion. And Sri is that sustaining, nourishing energy. Vidya, what's Vidya? Somebody said it.
Knowing.
So it's the knowledge of Sri. It's the knowledge of that which sustains and nourishes us. And Tantra is expansion, so we're expanding that knowledge. And this is called the Ganapati Mula Mantra. And what's your mula?
That's your root chakra.
Yes. Muladhara is your root chakra. Right? So mula is root. It's the root mantra for Ganesha. And this form of Ganesha, so usually you see Ganesha with, I don't know if we have one here, do we? Is there a Ganesha up there?
Is there a Ganesha up there?
Yeah. So does he have forearms up there?
Yes.
So usually you see him with forearms. Yeah. He has his little noose, his goad, and he's either holding his tusk or he's got some sweets. He likes his sweets. Yeah. What has he got here? He's got his sweets here in his one hand. And in his other hand here, in his left hand, he's actually holding a book on this one. Yeah. And sometimes you'll see him with a book, sometimes you'll see him with his tusk, sometimes you'll see him with his hand up in Abhaya Mudra, which means fear not, for I got you. I got you.
Talk to the hand.
This form of Ganesha, the Maha Ganapati, this is the Maha Ganapati Mula Mantra. So we talked about Maha, or you guys were talking about Maha earlier, right? Yeah, you were talking about Maha. What were you saying about Maha?
The giant, fullness, complete, biggest.
Yeah, the highest. Yeah. So this is the highest form of Ganesha. You'll see Ganeshas with hundreds of arms and 16 arms and 12 arms. This Ganesha has 10 arms. And each hand holds something. And this particular form of Ganesha represents all of the aspects of our manifest world. All of the aspects of our manifest world, because Ganesha represents manifestation, density, earth. He's the densest of, in the Mahaganapati, he's the densest of the subtle elements. So we have elements that are causal, right, which are way up there in the archetypal realms. We have the subtle elements from which our physical elements come through. So he kind of rules that middle, I think that middle realm, the subtle realms. And overarches our entire experience of what we call reality. He represents density, and we're in density in this lifetime. We're in that experience
like
of density.
The most subtle of the most dense of the subtle elements would be what?
It's the subtle element of earth, subtle earth.
The subtle of before joy comes seed of joy.
Yeah.
So joy is not, I'm confused. So joy is not the seed, there's something more subtle. And that's here.
And that's that little emotional experience. I think it's even beyond emotion.
Before emotion.
It's before emotion. Yeah. Where that's created.
It's still
there's an idea of what joy is, and it's somewhere within that construct, within that blueprint of an idea.
All joy flows from this seed.
From that seed.
And then I manifest it into my particular joy.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Your density.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really complicated, and we tend to want to wrap our minds around it so much that what we do is we create these iconographies, these visual depictions in order for the mind to have something to anchor to, right? And say, okay, I can understand this. I can understand that piece of this and that piece of this. And then maybe as I sing these mantras that represent these things, somehow a greater and a deeper understanding begins to be revealed that is more felt than intellectualized. And that's what, when I was doing my Ganesha Tarpanas, which is a long 44-day practice of doing 108 repetitions of these mantras every day with a very specific ritual and some elements that go along with that, I begin and with specific mantras also that are added to this and encompassed by this one that I'm teaching you, I began to feel qualities that were beyond my intellectual capacity to analyze. It was beyond analyzation. So visualize or imagine, if you will, because I don't have a depiction, a statue of the Mahaganapati, but just visualize a Ganesha with 10 arms, okay? And the right side represents the masculine, and the left side represents the feminine, okay? In the uppermost two arms, we have Lakshmi on the left, and we have Narayana on the right. And so Lakshmi and Narayana, who's Narayana?
Vishnu.
Vishnu, very good. He's an aspect of Vishnu. And what are Lakshmi and Vishnu? What are their qualities?
Prosperity.
Abundance, prosperity, everything that sustains us. Everything that nourishes us, right? And it's the state of reality, of our manifest density that represents sthiti. Sthiti. Stabilization. right? Stability.
Steadiness.
Yeah, what is sustained. Okay. So to represent that, Ganesha holds in his left hand for Lakshmi a lotus, right? Which represents the unfoldment through space. And in his right hand, he holds Vishnu's discus, which represents the continuum of time. And this time-space continuum, right, is what really keeps us kind of grounded in this reality and in this linear nature of our lives, this continuum. Right, the steady flow through our lives. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. In his next two hands, next down, on the left side is Gaudi, and on the right side is Shankara.
Gaudi.
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 Gaudi. And Shankara. And who are they?
Is Shankara the moon?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Although he has the moon in his jata.
Maybe Shiva.
Ah, there you go. Yeah. It's Shiva and Shakti, basically. Shiva and Parvati. Yeah. So Gauri is she's the pure form of Parvati, the unmarried maiden form of Parvati. Shankara is, so Shang is good fortune, and kara is to do and give, right, and bestow. So he bestows good fortune. And so to represent these two, Ganesha holds for Gauri a noose, right, which represents desire and attraction, right, and kind of all those rajasic tendencies that we have, right? And because we were speaking about rajas before. And then for Shankara, he holds the trident. So you guys were talking about something really interesting a little while ago. You were talking about the doer. I am not the doer. And the trident plays into this. The symbolism of the trident plays into this. The trident is what we call the Triputi. Okay, it's what's actually called the Trishul, but it represents the Triputi. The seer, the active seeing, and the seeing. Right? So you have this aham, this I am, this great I am. And then you have this ahamkara, the I-doer, the I-maker, right? That thinks it's doing all of these things outside of it, while the I-am sitting there going, no, it's all the same thing. It's all one thing, right? And this triputi is what separates the ahamkara from the I-am. It's what creates that thought in the ego that it's doing something, because it separates the seer, the seeing, and the seen. Those three acts, those three elements that create separation, right? So
is this like the will,
Icha
Shakti, the action Kriya Shakti,
yes,
and the knowing of that Jana Shakti,
yes, acts. Absolutely, that's exactly what it is. Same thing. Absolutely.
And then
yeah.
In the center is a circle.
In the center is a circle. Yeah, absolutely. And so this is the act of samhara. This represents, these two hands represents the act of samhara, that act of nature, right, of manifest reality, that is the act of destruction. So because of attraction and aversion, right? Because the aversion is that separation aspect, right? The that Triputi actually brings into being. Because of that, we destroy our ability to know oneness because of all this rajasic stuff that's going on. Okay. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Well, Marie explains the good vibes of Shiva, concealment prevents us from knowing. But the concealment is relieved just as it's reestablished through grace. And then,
so this is perhaps the relieving aspect.
The what?
The aspect that relieves, it destroys.
To bring it to an end.
To bring it to an end.
Because they're all together all the time.
In actuality, they are. Yeah, all of this really doesn't exist. This is all Maya. It's all illusion, and it's all created through our consciousness. Okay? Everything that we experience is created through consciousness and through emotions. And there are
interactions. I can only see illusion. I can only see what is not real.
Yeah, so you're seeing scene. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And then the next two hands, Kleem. Can you say Kleem?
Kleem.
So the first one was Shreem, the first two hands. The second two hands are Hreem, which is the Bija mantra. I forgot to add that in. So say Shreem, Hreem.
Shreem, Hreem.
And now we come to Kleem, which is the third set of hands. On the left is Rati. He holds a blue lily to represent her. And on the right is Manmata. And he holds the blue lily and the sugarcane bow. Yes, the sugarcane bow.
The arrow is so soft and sweet.
Yes, right. So who do you think these two are? Cupid. You said it. Actually, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Manmata is Kama.
Kama.
Which is the god of
sexual love.
Yeah. And yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And Rati is again that sensual desire. And they're kind of like Saraswati and Brahma in a lot of ways, because we know that Brahma was a little bit
Yeah.
He had
I
a
love
little,
you so much.
Right?
I will never stop.
He had a lot going on with a little bit of self control issues. At least in the stories. So this is the aspect of Srishti, which is creation. Right? So we have Sthiti, sustaining, Samhara, which is destruction, and Srishti, which is creation. So this blue lily is actually spiritual knowledge. It represents spiritual knowledge and spiritual seeking, that desire for higher understanding through embodiment. Yeah, through embodiment. And then the sugarcane bow. So classically, the bow in our symbolism, in our Hindu symbolism, represents the mind. And the five arrows that the bow shoots.
The senses.
Very nice. Good job. Yeah. Yeah. So the sugarcane bow represents the pure mind. And through the mind and through this seeking, this desire for higher knowledge, right? We create.
It's the arrow itself, which is not like the usual arrow, but it's so soft and sweet. It just takes this divine sweetness from this very soft bow.
Yes.
And not like the arrow that kills.
That pierces or kills.
Yeah,
yeah, it's the arrow. It's James had a really sweet term for it. He called it the weapon of positive mass destruction. Because it destroys all illusion. It destroys all impurity within us. Yeah. I like James's analogies sometimes. They're really good. All the time, actually. And so then we have, in the next set, in the fourth set of hands, we have the Bija Mantra Glaum. Can you say Glaum?
Glaum.
Glaum, yeah. So Glaum, say that a few times. Glaum.
Glaum.
Glaum. Glaum.
Glaum.
It has a kind of a clingy sound to it in a way for me. I don't know. Like density, like really kind of sticky. And Glaum is, in the left hand is Bhumi, and in the right hand is Varaha. So who's Bhumi? Om Bhur. So Bhur is...
Earth.
You said it Earth first. You said it first.
Earth.
Earth.
The Gayatri.
Yeah, the Gayatri mantra, right. So Earth. Yeah. Earth. Bhumi is the Earth. Yes. And Varaha is the boar-faced aspect of Vishnu.
The boar-faced.
Boar-faced, yeah. It's the third avatar of Vishnu. So the third incarnation. He had 10 well, actually, he's gone through 9, and when the 10th comes, it's the end times, basically, or the resetting of the cycle, right? So, and it, the 10th hasn't appeared yet on Earth, but there's been 9 avatars of Vishnu, including Rama and Krishna. Yeah, they were avatars, and there's Simha, I think it is, not Simha, and there's the tortoise avatar, and Matsya was the first avatar, I think, the fish, yeah. So anyway, Varaha was the third avatar who rescued Bhumi, the earth, from the primordial waters where she was moving into dissolution, and put her back into the heavens, into her place in the heavens. Right. So Glaum represents this earth and fertility and the cyclic nature of life. In the left hand is a rice paddy or a rice shoot, a rice plant, which represents that cycle of fertility and growth. And then in the right hand is the mace of Varaha, which represents action, right? And so when we're involved in all this active cycle of life, this represents the aspect of nature and of manifest reality that is Tirodhana, or Tirobhava, I've also heard it said, which is that veiling aspect. So we get caught up in all this movement in life, in all this, yeah, all these things we're going through, which are always cycles, and then we're veiled from really knowing the divine. Yeah. So this is actually the veiling, the veiling aspect. Yeah. Whereas the destruction is the destruction of all of that. The destruction aspect is the destruction of all of that, so that we're able to see the oneness. So I had that a little bit backwards. Thank you for helping me to clarify that. All right. And then Gam. Can you say Gam?
Gam.
Yeah.
Gam.
So Gam is actually Ganesha himself. And in the right hand, he holds a pomegranate, which represents all of the dimensions of the universes kind of stacked in on one another, that there's so much possibility, right? There's endless, infinite possibilities for manifestation. And that's what Ganesha represents in the right hand with that pomegranate. In the left hand is Siddhalakshmi, his wife. Siddhalakshmi is the ultimate power of Lakshmi. And in his left hand, he's holding his tusk. And Siddha Lakshmi, because we're talking about Sri Vidya Tantra, the knowledge of the Sri, which is representative of Siddha Lakshmi, or Lalita Devi, or the highest form of the Ma, the highest knowledge, the tusk that that is represented as her in Ganesha's left hand is representing Ekamsat. What's Eka?
One.
One, yes, very good. What is Sat?
Truth.
Truth.
Truth, yeah. The one truth. So we have all of these possibilities, endless, infinite possibilities of manifestation in one, on one hand, and one truth on the other hand.
Yeah, but what is the one truth?
That it's infinite.
Okay.
Infinite possibility. And yet there's one underlying consciousness that supports all of it.
There's one reality.
One reality.
Everything else is current.
Yeah, everything else, and everything else spins out from that. Yeah, all coming out and spinning out all of these other things. So
that reality is always itself,
mm-hmm.
and never ceases to be itself. Whereas the other arise and disappear.
Right. Exactly.
And so there's nothing to be there. They're there for a moment and they're gone. So
exactly.
They are never there.
Exactly. And what aspect of manifestation does this represent? What's the last one? We've had sustaining, we've had destruction, we've had creation, we've had veiling. What's the last one?
Grace.
Grace. Anugraha. Yeah.
Anugraha.
Absolutely. So
to see that.
To be able to see that.
To see both.
Yes.
To see that absolute single truth.
Yes.
And all of these absolute manifestations as they sparkle. Into
existence
and
they're gone. Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And then we'll and then Ganapataye. So Ganapataye is the next word in this mantra, and Ganapataye is this earthly dense manifestation of all of this. Yeah. And then we'll say Varavarada.
Varavarada.
Mm-hmm. So Varavarada is just a prayer to bestow on us all the best boons and blessings, to really help us along our path in the way that's most beneficial to us. That's what Varavarada means. And then we'll say Sarva.
Sarva.
Janam.
Janam.
Me.
Me.
Sarva Janam Me.
Varavarada Sarva.
Janam Me. Yeah, yep. Janam Me. Vashamanya.
Vashamanya.
Yes. So Sarva Janam Me Vashamanya.
Sarva Janam Me Vashamanya.
Very nice, you guys. Excellent. All right. So this is a little, might rub you a little bit the wrong way. The direct translation is, let all people be subjugated to me. So that sounds a little harsh. However, when you think about it, we're all subject to density. We're all subject to this reality that we're in, and that's what that means. That while
subject,
we're here,
the delusion, subject to
while
delusion.
We're here, we're subject to all this.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So while we're here, this is what we're dealing with.
Because we can only see what is unreal.
We only have our physical senses. We can also
create our binding to this delusion.
Exactly. 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 And also,
so it becomes, because Ganesh is this earth.
He is this earth.
And
yes.
So it's can't see beyond Ganesh, this delusion of Ganesh.
And he also, in his trunk, is holding, I forgot to give you this little tidbit, so he's holding the pot of Amrita.
The pot of Amrita.
Yes. The knowledge of immortality.
Okay.
Yeah. So he also offers this as well. So, got all this other stuff that you're going to be dealing
is
with.
Is that a trick?
He's a tricky guy. And all this other stuff that's out here, right? And it's kind of surrounding you and distracting you, and it's going on and on. But right here in the center, in my trunk, is this one gem-encrusted pot of Amrita. Right? This is where the gold is. So we've got all over this other stuff for you, you know, if you wanna play with it. But right here in the center, if this is where you come, if this is where you choose to come, back to the center, back to source. Got this for you too.
Is this mantra the lid of the golden vessel conceals the truth?
Mm.
Remove the lid.
Mm-hmm.
So that I might know the form of my true Dharma.
Yeah.
The lid of the gold. So maybe that's the lid of this golden vessel, the pot.
Mm-hmm.
Kindly uncover, remove the lid so that I can see the form of my true Dharma.
I love that.
I got that mantra somewhere.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. Sounds beautiful.
It is.
Yeah, I like that.
Sounds like Pandora's cousin.
Oh Lord Bhushan, kindly remove the lid. Oh Lord Bhushan, kindly remove the lid. What's one of the sun salutation mantra?
Okay.
Oh Lord Bhushan, kindly uncover, remove the lid so that I can see the form of my true God.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, I'd love to see that one if you can bring it in. And then the final word, svaha.
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 Yeah, svaha. Is to offer into the fire. And what fire are we offering things into?
Tapas.
Tapas, the fire of our practice. Yeah, fire of practice. All right, and then, so this is the core Mula Mantra. And then as a kirtana, I added some other stuff. I added Sri Ganesha, which is Honorable Ganesha. You know, Sri is an honorific. Siddhi Vinayaka.
Siddhi Vinayaka.
Yeah, with the power to remove obstacles. Jaya Gananatha.
Jaya Gananatha.
Victory to Ganesha. Gananatha is simply another word for Ganesha. Nata means Lord. Gana is the group, so he's the Lord of the group. All the disparate parts of our being, all the disparate energies that we work with in the world, you know, he brings that all into harmony. So he is yoga. And Om Gam Ganapati.
Om Gam Ganapati.
Yeah, we'll sing Om Gam Ganapataye Namaha as well. So, well, oh wow, that was a long talk. It's a long mantra.
Yeah.
Right. So we'll go slow. We'll take it slow, and just follow along, and we'll see if we can't get our tongues around all of this Sanskrit. So when you sing Om, just think of the beautiful, soft, loving face and the kind, compassionate eyes of that forehead that is wide and broad and calm and serene, and let your forehead be that wide, that broad, that calm, that serene. Oh. divine peace, we are divine light and shadow, and we are the divine offering. How do you want that said? Namaste.